From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Carl, it is great to have you back. We've got a great show for everybody today. We have country rock legend Lucinda Williams joining us later. Probably not my job. Very exciting. But first, before we get started with the fun and games, we've got to take a moment to pay tribute to Senator Joseph Lieberman, who announced his retirement after spending four terms assiduously alienating every single voter in his home state of Connecticut. Republicans, Democrats, Independents. In order to get some of them, he had to go to their houses and borrow books and never return them, but it worked. His work is now done, though. Now he's looking forward to leaving office and spending more time betraying his family. But we know you're all still eager to go to work, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Elizabeth from Riverton, Utah.
Where is that exactly?
It's about 20 miles south of Salt Lake.
Oh, in the Great Valley. What do you do there?
I'm a mom.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I stay home with my kids,
and how
which
do you,
is really fun.
How do you enjoy that?
I love it.
Really?
Yes, I do.
You can be honest with us because, you know, we're all friends here. isn't there a moment every now and then where you just get a little crazy?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Definitely. Maybe a couple times a day.
All right. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, say hello to author, humorist, and hockey dad, Tom Beaudet, right there.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Tom.
Next, one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi.
And finally, host of the Too Beautiful to Live podcast, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, Luke.
Elizabeth, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your own home answering machine, voicemail, whatever you got. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Here is your first quote.
He is a dictator. He can do a lot of things through the form of government they have. Maybe I shouldn't have said dictator.
That was Harry Reid, known in Washington as the Velvet Tongue. Welcoming what important world leader to our country this week?
Hu Jintao.
Exactly right. Hu Jintao, president of China. Very good. When China bought the United States, it came with a free state dinner and a tour of Washington. So President Hu wanted to take advantage of the offer before the coupon expired. Vice President Biden actually picked up Hu Jintao at the airport, which is either a sign of China's power or a sign of how little Joe Biden has to do. During the ride into town, Biden kept trying to talk to him, but Hu kept pushing the button to make the screen go up. Biden's up front driving like, hey, how you doing? Long flight? You know, back in Scranton, I used to eat a lot of Chinese. Oh, I guess you don't want to talk. Okay. Now, the two leaders had a joint press conference. It was interesting, a little combative for this sort of thing. President Obama talked about human rights, and President Hu just laughed and repossessed the microphones. And then they had the big state dinner on a Wednesday night in what might have been a subtle jab at our creditor of honor. It was really like the most American meal you could have. It was ribeye steak, lobster, apple pie, and a bald eagle served on an Abrams tank with a side of Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Take that!
No, actually, the Chinese actually requested an all-American night.
Did they really?
They did. They did. The Chinese delegation wanted to be treated to sort of the best of Americana. So,
or do they like American food? Is that where they go on Christmas Day? Because the only thing open is like a real clear image.
Yeah. Problem with eating American is 3 days later you're still not hungry.
Yeah.
And guess who else was there?
Who else was there?
Jackie Chan was there.
That's great.
Yes, and he promised he wasn't going to do any karate moves.
Wait, did we bring in Jackie Chan or did they?
Don't.
Because if we brought him in, that's kind of racist, right?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like somebody sat down at the list. It's like, okay, how many famous Chinese people do we know?
Well, that's the funny thing. It's like, oh, the Chinese premiere is coming. Let's get a lot of famous Chinese people that he can sit with. And he's like, you know, actually, I see Chinese people at home. I was actually interested in meeting this Snooki. I'm really enjoying her book. Right, where is she? Yeah. All right. Your next quote refers to the name of a big bill in the House of Representatives this week.
Whether it's job killing, job destroying, job crushing, job ending, job limiting, job hurting, job removing, job exterminating, or job do away with. The point is clear.
That was a spokesman for House Majority Leader Eric Cantor explaining that no matter what they were calling it, the House Republicans were determined to repeal what?
Obamacare.
Obamacare, known as the health care bill or Obamacare. Very good. Very good, yes. By immediately holding a vote on repealing the health care law, the Republican Party fulfilled its promise to its base to hold symbolic votes its base will like. The bill won't even get a hearing in the Senate, but Republicans were delighted to revisit the highlights of the health care debate. It was like one of those records you see advertised on late-night TV. You remember these hits? Death panels, socialism, government bureaucrats killing your grandmother.
And who can forget? What is this, Canada?
Exactly.
On the subject of which, you got to come up with a better country to represent the worst-case scenario for this country.
What do you want this to turn into, Canada?
Like that hellhole?
Have you been to Canada? It's freaking awesome.
I know.
They're pretty nice.
Next, the Republicans are going to bring up bills to repeal Social Security, the Toyota Prius, and the 2008 presidential election. All right, here's your last quote.
That's more than the average capacity of the human stomach and enough caffeine to stand in for a defibrillator.
That was a writer on Gizmodo reacting to the announcement that WHO will soon be offering a ridiculously large cup of coffee?
Starbucks.
Starbucks, exactly right. It will not be long now until you are able to walk up to your local Starbucks and order a Trenta, 31 ounces of iced tea or iced coffee, along with its traditional snack on the side, an entire chocolate cake. Americans who love both bargains and the opportunity to ingest things will flock to the Trenta, picking it up for those weary mornings when you don't so much want to drink your coffee as bathe in it. As Gizmodo points out, the Trenta will actually exceed the capacity of the average human stomach, but that's before, they point out, the stomach distends. And distending our stomachs is America's last remaining claim to greatness.
That's not a cup of coffee. That's a thermos of coffee, isn't it?
That's
like a quart, right? 32 ounces a quart.
That's a county fair dunk tank of coffee.
This is a cup of coffee so big, if you swim down into it, you'll find two Starbucks franchises at the bottom.
I just find it really amazing that somebody has gotten to the end of what was previously the largest size drink at Starbucks and thought, I'm going to need another one of those.
Yeah. How are you going to carry this? Like in a coffee Bjorn? You're going to strap it to your chest, walk around?
Right.
Carl, how did Elizabeth do on our quiz?
Elizabeth had three correct answers, Peter. And Elizabeth, that means you win our prize.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Excellent. Elizabeth, thank you so much for playing.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye now. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Tom, a small liquor company, has responded to an apparent demand, one we didn't know was out there, but apparently it is. This week, they announced for the first time in human history, people will finally be able to get their scotch how?
Intravenously?
No, it's almost the next best thing.
Inhalers?
No.
Can I have a hint?
Well, imagine going up to your favorite sophisticated cocktail lounge and saying, I'd like a six-pack neat.
Oh, canned?
Yeah,
nice.
Canned scotch.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready for Glenn Schlitzitz. 12 ounces or roughly 8 shots of pure whiskey in a can. The company is called Scottish Spirits. They say they made scotch in a can because it's, quote, lightweight and recyclable, and apparently because they want to kill people. Because really, there's no better way to end a classy evening sipping fine whiskey with your mates in the club room than smashing the can in your forehead.
Wait, didn't they just outlaw some drink that was like so much alcohol it killed?
Well, it was Four, like, Loko. Yeah.
Four Loko.
Four Loko. Yeah.
Which was like an alcoholic energy.
And this is like Eight Loko, right?
This is fine.
Yeah. This is just Loko.
Well, they said that's a tremendous amount of whiskey in one container. They said, well, it's meant to share with your friends. Outside.
Like because, a Foster's.
Oh, because right, you're outside, you're playing Ultimate Frisbee, something fun with your friends. You know what would go great right now on this hot day? Like 8 ounces of warm scotch right there. That's what I want.
Let's be honest. Nobody's playing frisbee golf when they're drinking that. They're looking up at the overpass that's right above their
exactly
head.
True.
You want some more? It does create a situation that I never thought would happen, which would be this conversation between like a father and his teenage son. What were you drinking in the garage? Four Loko. Okay, good.
I thought it was canned scotch.
I thought it was canned scotch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's fine. Just keep going.
Whiskey River, take my mind. Whiskey River, don't run dry. You're all I got, take care of me.
Thank you so much. Good to be back with you. It's time now for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me You Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play any of our games on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hello,
Peter.
Who's this?
This is Tuane calling you from Massachusetts.
Oh, how are things in Massachusetts?
Cold, very cold. Another snowstorm tomorrow.
No, really? Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Have you been enjoying the winter? That really encompassed a range of emotions in that one. Monosyllable. That was very good. Well, Tuane, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you must tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Tuane's topic?
Oh, I didn't know that was in there.
You know when you find something you didn't know you had, a dollar bill in your pocket, a 15-year-old boy who appears in your doorstep looking like you?
Okay.
Our panelists are going to... Or is that just me? Did that just happen to me? Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of someone discovering they had something that was a secret even to them. Only one of these stories, of course, is true, Tuane. Pick the real one. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Very much so.
First, let's hear from Luke Burbank.
During the first few days of his honeymoon, Richard Rodriguez couldn't figure out why everyone seemed to be staring at him. The 36-year-old baggage handler at Boston's Logan Airport, who'd moved to the U.S. in his 20s, and his new bride were in Cancun looking to relax. But that proved impossible due to the throng of middle-aged women who kept mobbing Rodriguez, screaming, "Kiki! Soba mi panza conturmo!" It wasn't until late one night when the couple, now essentially trapped in their hotel room, figured out what was going on. They were watching an old rerun of Sabado Gigante, featuring an appearance by the 80s Mexican boy band sensation Menudo, a boy band sensation that featured, shockingly, a 13-year-old Richard Rodriguez, or as he was known then, Kiki, performing his hit song Soba Mi Panza Con Tu Amor, which translated means rub my belly with your love. Rodriguez swears he has no memory of this part of his life, and doctors tend to believe him. It's called specific dissociative traumatic amnesia, says Dr. Oliver Sacks, currently at work on a book about Rodriguez titled The Forgetful Pop Star. Rodriguez says even though he doesn't remember his time being famous, he'll always treasure the commemorative lunchbox bearing his face, which he recently picked up on eBay.
A man recovers his own history as a member of Menudo. Your next story of a surprising discovery comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Last summer, an elderly woman living in Queens confessed a secret to her priest. There were dirty pictures in her house. The unidentified woman discovered the photos in her father's study after he died in 1964, threw them in a box, and stashed them in her attic. Now she was moving into a Catholic-assisted living facility and, too embarrassed to even touch him, didn't know what to do. The priest offered to help and discovered the erotica motherlode. Hundreds of explicit photos by the late Gunther Eckhart, a German photographer known as, quote, the Ansel Adams of pornography. The black and white works shot in the 20s and 30s are highly prized among collectors and valued at, the priest discovered, between $150,000 and $200,000. A discreet sale was arranged with a New York gallery. The grateful woman donated the money to her parish. Asked by the New York Times how he recognized Eckhart's work, the priest declined to comment.
A woman's shameful stash of dirty pictures turns out to be a gold mine. And your last story of someone finding something that had been there all along comes from Tom Baudet.
19 years ago, prematurely balding Darren Hope invested the equivalent of $10,000 on hair transplants at a London clinic. The procedure was a success, and Mr. Hope enjoyed nearly 2 decades with a full head of long locks, never suspecting his hair transplant technician had left a message. After recently shaving his head for a change of pace, Hope discovered a 2-inch-high vulgarism neatly plucked across the back of his head where the follicles had been removed. The word refers to one who enjoys oneself, rhymes with banker, and is pronounced wanker, which can't be broadcast without appearing as if you're using it as an excuse to say wanker, which we would never do. I was young, and I think the surgeon was having a bad day, said Darren Hope. Pardon the pun, but I want to find whoever did this to me and scalp him.
All right, then. These are your choices. From Luke Burbank, a man discovering his own past as a member of Menudo, which he had repressed. From Roxanne, a woman realizing that those dirty pictures she had been so ashamed of were actually worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Or from Tom Baudet, a man who discovered that when he got his hair transplant 20 years ago, he also got a motto plucked into his scalp. Which of these is the real story of an undiscovered surprise?
All right. The dirty pictures and a priest seem pretty plausible. So I'm not going to number two.
So you're choosing, then, if I understand correctly, you're choosing Roxanne's story of the stash of pornographic pictures that turned out to be very valuable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to an expert who had an opinion about the real story.
As a hair transplant specialist, I think it's very unethical to spell words on the back of the patient's head, and I think the doctor should be disciplined for his actions.
That was Dr. Vladimir Panin of the Chicago Hair Transplant Clinic weighing in on the story of the secret message hidden in the hair transplant.
That's just amazing.
You didn't win, but you did earn a point for Roxanne, which I know makes her very, very happy for choosing your very plausible story. So thank you. Thank you so much for playing.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I found it. I found it. La, 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 la.
And now the game where we invite on big names and ask them little questions. Lucinda Williams sings country music, songs about loss and heartache and trouble. But unlike the latest kids Nashville has sent us, she sings like she really knows what she's talking about. If Taylor Swift tried to sing one of her songs, she'd burst into flames. Lucinda Williams' new album, Blessed, comes out soon. She's out on tour now. Lucinda Williams, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Lucinda, how are you?
Good.
I'm glad to hear it. We want to start our visit just by playing a little music of yours from one of your great records. This is a song called Metal Firecracker.
Once we rode together in a metal firecracker, you told me I was your queen. You told me I was your biker. You told
That's Metal Firecracker from your great record, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. Did you always have that voice from as long as you've been singing?
Not really. I mean, my voice has gotten better as I've gotten older, to be honest.
You did start relatively early in performing, right?
Yeah, I moved to Austin in 1974.
Right.
When I was 21. And they used to have this little area that was kind of a little, sort of small little flea market kind of a thing. And I used to go down there and open up my guitar case and play for tips. And
Well, yeah. the talent was pretty thick in the ground in Austin. It was like, oh, there's my streaker. Oh, darn, Lyle Lovett's on my corner this week. I got to move down.
No, he wasn't in Austin. He was still in College Station, Texas.
Oh, I see.
I listen to a lot of your music, Lucinda, and I'm a big fan. And it's something that I wonder, did you ever have a moment where you were just, you know, waking up in the back of some bar somewhere or having some crazy experience and you thought, this is terrible, but this is going to make an awesome song?
Yeah. I mean, because your songs sound like you lived those songs.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes, I did, but I don't know if I was consciously thinking that at the time. You know, maybe somewhere in the back of my mind.
Oh, here, I'll enter into this disastrous relationship. This will be good for my next record. We're reading a lot about your press. You have been beloved, but people have tried to describe you, and they find it hard, so they reach for comparisons. So, for example, people have compared you to Elvis Presley.
No. They have not.
They have. We have one musician saying of you, she's our Elvis, for the people in the...
I think they mean Elvis Costello.
Oh, really? That's not bad either.
Okay.
NPR, my own company, called you the Billie Holiday of alternative country music, which is the kind of thing we would say.
Wow.
How does that even work?
I don't know. It sounds good. what do you think? Billie Holiday, will you take that?
Yeah.
All right, so you go for Billie Holiday, not so much Elvis. How about this? The Wall Street Journal reviewed your record, Car Wheels in a Gravel Road. They said, quote, it seemed she went away a country folk singer and reappeared in the guise of Keith Richards.
Yeah.
You go for that?
Yeah.
So you definitely go for Billie Holiday, Keith Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Vanity Fair threw Hank Williams in there.
Yeah.
You take that too?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know some record label somewhere is going to pass on Lucinda going, we have too many Keith Richard Billie Holidays.
Who needs that? We understand now that you had a concert a couple years ago, 2009, opening show, and you got married.
Yeah.
On stage?
Yeah.
Was the show not going well? You're like, I gotta do something. I gotta get this audience back.
No, we planned it.
Oh, okay. What'd you do?
And we just decided to get married, you know, combine it with having a gig. And
right,
Tom
sure.
is from Minneapolis.
Tom is your manager and now your husband.
Yes.
Right. And you had rented the hall, so, you know.
Yeah, we didn't. We just figured we wanted to invite everybody we knew, and we didn't want to have a limited guest list. So we played, and then during the encore, we had a little ceremony on stage. My dad wrote the wedding vows.
Really, your father wrote your wedding vows?
Yeah.
Did your father write the vows for your husband? Like, I promise never to touch you. I mean, what would... That's like a weird role to put your father in. Well, Lucinda Williams, we are delighted to have you with us, and we have invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
To get in, either be invited or be the Salahis.
This week, the Obama White House staged its third official state dinner for Prime Minister Hu Jintao of China, as we have said. Now, these state dinners are solemn occasions, so we're going to ask you three questions about past state dinners. Get two right, you'll win our prize for our listener Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Lucinda Williams playing for?
Lucinda is playing for Deb Saplis of Ham Lake, Minnesota.
All right. Ready to play, Lucinda?
Okay.
All right. Here's your first question. One of the most famous state dinner events happened not in Washington, but in Tokyo at a state dinner thrown for President George H.W. Bush, who, as we all remember, vomited onto the Japanese Prime Minister and passed out. What was one thing inspired by this momentous event? Was it A, for a while afterwards in Japan, Bushu Suru meant to vomit unexpectedly? B, all Japanese state dinners for a while thereafter featured air sickness bags put discreetly under the chairs. Or C, a TV ad campaign was launched in Japan by a chain restaurant there. It featured Bush vomiting and the caption, he must have eaten at some other noodle shop.
That's a hard one.
It is.
A.
You're going to go for A, Bushu Suru?
That's not right.
It is right. No, it's right.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Bushu Suru literally means in Japanese to do the bush thing.
Right.
All right, very good. Here is your next question. State dinners are always a mix of dignitaries and celebrities. It's often an interesting mix, such as in which of these cases? A, an awkward moment when Chinese President Deng Xiaoping yelled at Shirley MacLaine. B, a very awkward moment in which Nicolas Cage told Mexican President Vicente Fox, quote, I loved you in Moonraker. Or C, a very, very, very awkward moment in which Silvio Berlusconi requested to borrow Jennifer Lopez.
B.
You're going to go for B, Nicolas Cage mistaking Vicente Fox for a Bond villain? Or be a Bond hero, perhaps. Am I quite sure what his mistake was? Is that your choice?
I think so.
It was A. Deng Xiaoping got angry.
Damn it.
That's all right.
There's one more.
You do have a vivid emotional life, I can tell. Deng Xiaoping was angry because Shirley MacLaine was going on about visiting China in the 70s and how lovely it was. And Deng, of course, at that time had been banished to the countryside by the Maoists and the Cultural Revolution, so he did not take that well. All right, this is exciting, though. You can get this right and still win. The Salahis aside, the most mortifying breach of protocol in state dinner history most likely was what happened in 1998, when what happened? A, in his toast to President Clinton, the South Korean president said, a pleasure to meet the most powerful person in the U.S. as well as her husband. B, while greeting the president, famed artist Nam June Paik's pants fell completely to the ground. Or C, the band serenaded the president after the dinner in the middle of the Monica Lewinsky scandal with an instrumental version of Raspberry Beret.
A.
You're going to go for A?
Yeah.
The South Korean president made a Hillary Clinton joke?
Yeah.
You think? I'm just saying that doesn't sound very diplomatic.
Trust your doubts.
Okay. C.
C?
Keep trusting.
You know, I don't want to cheat.
Well, I don't understand
obviously
such a...
It's B.
It's B, yes.
His pants fell down.
This is what happened. The artist...
Yes, they fell.
He had been sitting in a wheelchair, but he insisted on standing to meet the president as a sign of respect. And unfortunately, his pants had other ideas. And more unfortunately, he was wearing no underwear.
Really?
There is video of this incident, and I want you to watch it. And I want you to note something, which is how amazingly good President Clinton is at never looking away from this man's face.
Wow.
He is shaking his hand, he is thanking him for coming, his pants fall down to the ground, and Clinton never breaks eye contact. Carl, how did Lucinda Williams do on our quiz?
Well, Lucinda had two correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Dick Saplis of Ham Lake, Minnesota.
Well done. Lucinda Williams, her new record is Blessed. Go out and get it, Lucinda. We love your music. Thank you so much for making it and make a lot more. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks,
bye,
Lucinda.
Bye. Bye.
In just a minute, Carl hits you with his rhyme stick and our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, Carl is going to read off a list of names for you.
Anthony Tony Bagels Kvitsa. Joseph Junior Lollipops Karna. Vincenzo Vinny Carwash Progero. Anthony Baby Fat Larry Durso.
All right, Tom, what do those guys have in common besides terrific nicknames?
Silvio Berlusconi's cabinet. No, actually, those are some of the mobsters that were arrested this week.
Exactly right. They were all arrested by the FBI this week. Thanks to very good... Thanks to the largest mob bust in recent history, more than 120 alleged mobsters are off the streets. Just got a lot easier to get a table at certain Italian restaurants. All five crime families were hit, the Genoveses, the Gambinos, the Columbos, plus, for good measure, the Sopranos, the Boyardis, the Ronzonis, and the Trumps. Because, you know, why not?
Probably, yeah. There has to be a person, right, who makes those up. Like, it's got to be one guy, right, in a room somewhere.
Like the poet laureate of
the
mafia.
Exactly. Like, he's in a room somewhere in Brooklyn just, I mean, working from dusk till dawn making up those nicknames. Because those are amazing.
One thing I've learned is that you don't get to pick your own. You know, you're never like, call me Tony Bagels.
Because everybody would pick Cobra Laserface.
Exactly.
Is it?
I don't think they would, actually.
Well, now how
I don't think it'd last very long. Now I want you to call me Cobra Laserface.
Would you mess with a guy named Cobra, like, hey, I owe Cobra Laserface $100 because of the Jets game.
Is that...
You better pay him.
Roxanne.
Yes, sir.
The New York Times reported that homemade organic meals are becoming more popular for what segment of our population?
Pets.
Yes, exactly. The Times profiled a woman who makes for her dog a dish made of chicken, red cabbage, cucumbers, carrots, berries, garlic, and parsley, all from her own organic farm. Weirdly, this article appeared in the paper's dining and wine section rather than its crazy rich people section. Of course, because dogs, as we know, care deeply, deeply about what they're eating. When they bark right before eating their own vomit, they're inquiring if it's organic and locally sourced.
But what is the point of it? I mean, don't you eat organic food for better health and longer life? I mean,
well, why shouldn't your dog have better health and longer life?
Well, I know, but you know, if you only live 12 years, wouldn't you eat Twinkies all the time?
The article also mentioned a delicious, healthy dog food recipe involving parsley, yogurt, egg, and chicken, to which chickens say, hey, it's great you care so much about animals. We're so touched. Tom, the mayor of Ogden, Utah, has a plan to fight crime. He's going to unleash the awesome power of what? In the skies.
Seagulls.
No.
Oh, camera-toting seagulls.
No.
Something more predatory. Hawks, perhaps.
No.
Can I have a hint?
It'll be a good year for law enforcement. Really, he's just floating this idea.
Oh. Blimps.
Yes, crime-fighting blimps high above Ogden. Mayor Matthew Godfrey of Ogden noticed high-crime cities had one thing in common, no blimps in the skies. There must be a connection. Ogden officials hope that flying an unmanned dirigible around town will aid in surveillance and crime prevention. Criminals will be like, hey, let's steal a TV. Wait, what's that? It's a blimp. Oh, it must be the year 1917. TVs haven't been invented yet. Let's do something else. Very subtle but effective psychology. The high-speed chases, though, with a blimp would be very disappointing. Every time the local anchors get excited, they're like, and the blimp is in pursuit. Oh, the humanity. Looks like the crime blimp has got them this time. Oh, the humanity. Luke, in these tough economic times, small business owners have to squeeze every bit of profit they can. This week, the Indianapolis Star reported that owners of what type of venue are now opening up for weddings, birthdays, and proms?
It's in Indiana. It's in the state of Indiana.
It is in the state of Indiana, although these are everywhere. You'll find them anywhere you go. Especially anywhere you end up, finally.
A funeral?
Funeral homes. Yes, indeed. Funeral homes. No, this is great news. Funeral homes are finally thinking outside the pine box. It makes sense. If you've been to a funeral home, you know it's a big space. It's designed to accommodate a lot of people, often in beautiful settings, right? So goodbye, funeral home. Hello, event center. Oh, those aren't caskets. Those are novelty coolers for your beer. And if you're holding a wedding, bridesmaids, our embalmer can do makeovers for you as long as you promise to keep very, very still. If he were to move, he'd get spooked. You don't want that. Would you guys do this if you got a good deal? Luke, you're going to get married soon,
well,
you know?
I mean...
If I can, how much would I have to save you? 50% on a banquet hall if you just go to the funeral home.
What's it going to take to get you into this casket
exactly.
and then married to somebody also in that casket? I was just thinking that, I mean, if you ever need to understand the disconnect between the different regions of this country, people in New York are baking organic dog food for their animals, and people in Indiana are having their wedding with dead people to right. save $500.
Yes, well, you know.
See, that's the point at which you just say, let's party in tonight.
Yeah.
Let's have it at home.
There are dangers. For example, you don't want to drink and pass out. That would be potentially... you never know where you'll wake up.
But on the upside, you don't have to worry about making too much noise.
That's true.
It's like...
the neighbors don't care.
It's like if when you care enough to throw a big party that's also kind of crappy, do it at a funeral home. I just don't, I mean, it seems like you've ruined the chances of being a good get-together.
You are so ignoring the economic incentive because a lot of these places are offering like lifetime package deals. You get a wedding, an anniversary party, and a retirement party, they will throw in your wake.
Yeah. You can't afford not to.
It's really. At prices like these, why party with the living? Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme to solve the problem. If you'd like to play on air, call to leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can always click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and also our upcoming shows in Miami, Florida, February 3rd and 4th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Who's this?
This is Chad Zimmerman. I am calling from Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Carlisle. What do you do there?
I am a law student.
Oh, I see. And what kind of aspirations do you have in the law?
Mostly elder law and estate planning.
Like doing wills and such?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Don't you mean death taxing? Call it what it really is, Chad.
Well, welcome to the show, Chad. Now, Carl is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, in two of them, you'll be a winner. Ready to play?
All right, ready. All
right, here's your first limerick.
The South is vacation's main goal, but this is no leisurely stroll. Amundsen and Scott had the same deal we got. We'll ski all the way to the...
Pole?
Yes, pole. Very good. For the 100th anniversary of Robert Falcon Scott's expedition to the South Pole, rich adventure seekers are planning to recreate his journey, except for the part where Scott and his men tragically froze to death. For $57,000, you'll be flown to a spot right next to the pole, and then you can ski the final few yards. That's the popular false sense of accomplishment package. But for the truly wealthy, they offer a tour which just moves the South Pole to Miami. Saves time and trouble. Very good. Here is your next limerick.
The Venetian gives life to a glam myth. It's a tusked woolly creature to jam with. We're making a clone of a pal of Flint Stone. You can meet my new pet woolly
mammoth.
Right! Using 12,000-year-old frozen mammoth cells, a team of scientists at Kyoto University in Japan said they will be able to produce a baby woolly mammoth within the next 6 years. In a more striking discovery, we have found the only scientists in the world who have not seen Jurassic Park.
This sounds like such a bad idea.
It really does. And we're like, yeah. It's a bad idea. They're like, no problem. It's just going to be a baby. Here is your last limerick.
The highlight of each Thursday night, she points out what I don't do right. It's usually cleaning, but there's hidden meaning. And soon it builds into a...
fight.
Right. After surveying thousands of couples, a British study has determined when you are most likely to fight with your significant other. It is weirdly specific. Couples are most likely to fight at Thursday nights at 8 p.m.
Is that because of the NBC line?
Yeah, yeah. That's it. The fight is always, I told you, if NBC says we must see TV, we must see it. Carl, how did Chad do in our quiz?
Chad was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers. So, Chad, you win our prize.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for playing, and good luck with your career.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Tom Beaudette and Roxanne Roberts both have 3 points each. Luke Burbank has 2.
All right. Luke, you are in third place, you'll be up first. The clock will start when they begin. Your first question. Fill-in-the-blank. As her condition continued to improve, Arizona Representative Blank was able to stand and use an iPad.
Gabby Giffords.
Right. Ricky Gervais said he wasn't worried that he'd gone too far while hosting this year's Blank Awards.
Golden Globes.
Right. After last week's ouster of their president, the new interim government of Blank held their first cabinet meeting on Thursday.
Tunisia.
Right. Former vice presidential candidate and founder of the Peace Corps, Blank, died Tuesday at age 95.
Sergeant Shriver.
Right. Police in a Colombian prison have apprehended a carrier pigeon they suspect is a Blank.
Drug mule.
Yeah. Ratings fell for this season's premiere of the TV show Blank featuring new judges.
American Idol.
Right. After he got a robocall at 4:30 in the morning telling him his kids' school was opening 2 hours late, a Maryland man got revenge by blanking.
Calling the superintendent.
Oh, is that close enough? The real answer is robocalling the school board at 4:30 the next morning. Carl, a judgment?
Robocalling, I think we were looking for.
So you're not going to take that?
Yeah.
You are a harsh taskmaster.
But we love you for it.
We do.
What happened was, he was up, so Aaron Titus was up at 4:30 anyway, so he had plenty of time to find a robocall company and compose and record his message. The very next morning at 4:30 a.m. exactly, every school board member got this call. This is a Prince George's County School District parent calling to thank you for the robocall yesterday at 4:30 in the morning. I decided to return the favor. Carl, how did Luke do?
Luke had 6 correct answers, Peter, for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Luke has the lead.
Well done. All right. We flipped a coin, and Roxanne has elected to go next. So, fill in the blank. After ousting former chairman Michael Steele, Reince Priebus became the new chairman of the blank.
Republican National Committee.
Right. Apple stock fell at the news that Blank would be taking another medical leave of absence.
Steve Jobs.
Right. This week, the FCC approved Comcast's plan to merge with the broadcast network Blank.
NBC.
Right. In an interview Tuesday, former Vice President Cheney said that he may need to have a Blank transplant in the future.
A heart transplant.
Yes. Police in New Zealand were called in to investigate a fistfight that broke out between competitors in the high-stakes world of Blank.
Tiddlywinks.
Lawnmower racing. After 28 years, morning talk show host Blank announced he was leaving his show.
Reege
is filming at a ceremony honoring the 50th anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's inauguration. John Boehner blanked.
Cried.
Right. A Boston woman whose cat was summoned for jury duty tried to get him excused by claiming blank.
He was a lawyer.
No, by claiming the cat does not speak English. And here's the sick part. It didn't work. Tabby Sal was entered into the pet section of the census, but clerical errors happened and he got summoned. Now, despite his owner's pleas, a jury commissioner has said Tabby Sal must attend his March 23rd court date. Legal experts expect a hung jury of 11 not guilties and 1 meow. Carl, how did Roxanne do in our quiz?
Well, Roxanne had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points and Roxanne has the lead.
Well done. So how many, then, does Tom need to win?
He needs 6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
All right, here we go. This is for the game, Tom. Fill in the blank. Former dictator Jean-Claude Duvalier ended his exile and was taken in for questioning after he returned to blank.
Haiti.
Right. The FBI is investigating a backpack bomb in Spokane, Washington, placed along the route of a parade held in honor of Blank Day.
Martin Luther King Day.
Right. In the wake of his recent sex scandal, opposition leaders called for the resignation of Italian Prime Minister Blank.
Silvio.
Right, a Norwegian boy who stumbled upon a pack of wolves fended them off by blanking.
To be adopted.
No, blasting heavy metal music at them. On Thursday, it was announced that co-founder Larry Page would be taking over as the CEO of Blank.
The Google.
Right, in an interview with Allure magazine, Jennifer Aniston admitted that she hated the hairstyle she made famous known as the Blank.
The Rachel.
Right, a member of Parliament in Britain apologized to his colleagues after his speech in the House of Commons was interrupted by Blank.
loud gaseous expulsions.
No. The speech was interrupted by his musical tie. Conservative Party member Nadhim Zahawi at first tried to talk through his tie's musical number, but as other members of the parliament began looking for the source of the tinny music, he confessed that the culprit was his neckwear. Carl, did Tom do well enough to win?
He needed at least 6 to tie, but Tom had just 5 correct answers. So with 15 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
Well done. Well done. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what souvenir President Hu Jintao is taking back to China with him from America. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, providing resources for home ownership at houselogic.com. Angie's List, providing consumer reviews on local professionals from physicians and veterinarians to plumbers and roofers. Details at angieslist.com. And eSurance, allowing customers to view pictures of their car repairs online with RepairView. eSurance car insurance, more at eSurance.com. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Nick Parker. Web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Waltrover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what souvenir is Chinese President Hu Jintao taking back with him from his U.S. trip? Tom Baudet.
To be put on permanent display at the Beijing Museum of American Relations, President Hu accepted the lifelike remains of Henry Kissinger.
Roxanne Roberts.
Duh, first base.
And Luke Burbank.
Joe Biden's hair plugs, thus sending a message to any other countries who think they can welch on their Chinese debts.
Well, if he takes home any of those panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Roxanne Roberts, Tom Baudet, and Luke Burbank. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.